Bowery Branch with Dave Archer, Wes Durham. And we welcome you to the Mike Smith Coaches Show. William Moore, our player guest today, and obviously a tough Tuesday here at Flowery Branch after a 30-28 loss last night late to the New York Jets on Monday night at the Dome. And now bye week for Atlanta, and the Tampa Bay Bucks will be here a week from Sunday. We will not have a program next Monday for you, by the way, as the Falcons come off the bye week, but we will return with the program week after that. Arch, I don't know that there's any one particular word to kind of capsule the disappointment, the frustration, the angst of the way these ball games have gone down, because all four losses, touchdown or less, possession at the end, one way or the other, it's seemingly just the reversal of the seven kinds of wins they had a year ago that were touchdown or less.
Well, you're 8-2 in games decided by a touchdown or less a year ago. You're 1-5 this year, 1-4 this year. That's where you are from a year ago. And what decides whether you win some of these close games and what you don't win some of these close games? There's a lot of reasons. You can't. That's the thing about these deals is you can't put your finger on one thing. That's what it makes it so difficult for Smitty and his staff to adjust and get it fixed, is because it's not one little thing. If it were one thing you could fix, then you could push that button and you could move on to it. That's why it's such a difficult scenario.
Well, the head coach of the Falcons, Mike Smith, with us in this first half hour, of course, and then William Moore, the safety, will join us in our player spotlight. Smitty, these games, and you've been so great in your tenure here talking about the details of the game. And now I guess everybody's starting to kind of understand the details of the game sometimes encompass the game itself. And so the details do matter. And this little tough stretch here, these three ball games, have really been in many ways about details.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. It's such a fine line. And you've got to make sure that you detail your work and work the details. And unfortunately, we've not been able to finish games off. And it's not just been in one area. It's been in multiple areas. I thought we did a great job last night going down and scoring, take the lead, and then we can't slow them down basically in a two-minute situation. So the offenses have had their opportunities, the defense has had their opportunity, and we just haven't been able to get it done. And I thought special teams took a step back. When you have a punt blocked and you have a punt returned and tacked on with a 15-yard penalty and they're starting inside your 25-yard line, it really puts the defense in a bind.
It's a strange scenario, Smitty, when you look, you were presented with three short field sudden change situations for your defense, two on special teams, one on the strip sack where Ryan was stripped and they recovered the fumble, so another short field, and your defense held them to three twice. Yet you have those moments late in games that I know you got to be banging your head against the wall. We can do that then. Why are we not doing that in that two-minute situation?
Yeah, it's our sudden change was very good last night, as you mentioned. It was two out of three, and when you have that two out of three, you're usually gonna like what happens. We have not won third down all season long. We're 32nd in the league right now, 50% third down conversion, and that really hurts you as a football team. As a defense, it keeps you on the field, and it keeps your offense on the sideline. So we've not been good there, and then we've not been good. We've had two opportunities that if we would get a stop in a two-minute situation at the end of the game, then the outcome is going to be completely different. So we've got to continue to work at it, and we're going to get a couple of days' work here starting tomorrow, working solely on the Falcons. And we've earmarked some things as a coaching staff that we've got to do on the field, and we've earmarked some things that we have to do in the meeting rooms, not only with our players, but with us as a staff.
Smitty, you talk about the third downs, and I believe the Jets were 6 of 11 last night on third down, obviously not acceptable in your mind or in anybody's mind. But when you look at that in particular, how delicate is that when you start trying to evaluate that and win on third down, yet you got to apply it to each team because each team's different on third down than the team you've played previous when you're trying to dial that in and get that fixed if you want to?
Well, it's each week you've got to game plan against the personnel that you're going to be facing. And each week it's a completely different dynamic, and there'll be certain matchups that we think will be favorable towards us, and there's certain matchups that'll be favorable for our opponent. And what we have to do as a coaching staff is we try to put our guys in advantageous situations where they can go out and make plays and produce. And we've had some opportunities. We gave up a 3rd and 9 and a 3rd and 10, and those are advantage defense. And we have had some mental breakdowns, and we've had physical breakdowns. It's not like you, when I came in, I heard you saying, if it was just one thing you put your finger in, and you could figure it out. It's mental, it's physical, it's matchup. There's a whole bunch of things that go in, but I can assure you we understand that there's no excuses. It doesn't matter who's out there playing. This is the Atlanta Falcon team, and we've got some young guys that are getting some good experience right now, and it's going to pay off down the road.
Head coach Mike Smith with us. Of course, the Mike Smith Radio Show brought to you in part by Pizza Hut. $10 any deal is back and perfect. Get any pizza with toppings for just $10. Carry out only at your locally owned and operated Pizza Hut. Obviously, you met with the media at the bottom of the hour, and right out of the gate was the reports that have surfaced here in the last 90 minutes to 2 hours about the possibility of Julio Jones missing the remainder of the season with a foot injury sustained last night in the game. You did shed some light that there's a second opinion that's going to take place, I believe, through a specialist in Charlotte. Is that tomorrow? Is that right?
That is correct. Julio will have a second opinion and visit with medical people over in Charlotte, and hopefully we'll have a more definitive answer. We certainly hope that it'll be good news. The first diagnosis is not very favorable, but we'll have to wait and see.
Well, when it comes down, you talk about it all the time, and we remember a Packer team in 2010 that really struggled out of the box, had 19 people on injured reserve, I believe, and then closed the show late to go to the Super Bowl and actually win the Super Bowl. So it becomes that scenario where guys step up around. You do have some accomplished guys, yet green, that are going to have to step up for you. Drew Davis, Harry Douglas has been a guy that's been a playmaker for you for 6 years. And then you got Kevin Cohn, who made an excellent big-time catch when he had an opportunity. And I know from a guy that's been stood on the sidelines before, opportunity is something that puts a big smile on your face and an opportunity. So you got two big receivers. Drew Davis and Kevin Cohn are big people and just have not really had a chance to play because of two guys in front of them.
Yeah, they've not had an opportunity to play simply because we've got a really good first group. And Kevin made a big-time play on the 3rd down conversion to keep a drive going late in the ball game. And they're going to get their opportunity. And we've got some guys that are on our practice squad that have worked their tails off all through the season. They may get an opportunity as well. Those are things that I think will all kind of fall in place over the next 48 hours.
The group that obviously when the fan watches the game and they get a chance to see the close-ups, the group that struggled some last night, offensive line group, and not just one guy. There's when you talk about offensive line, you talk about tight ends, running backs, everybody gets included in that group. The offense, you mentioned in your press conference, evaluation process has to happen this week with your bye week. That it's not just scheme and what we're doing for a play call, but it's personnel as well. I would imagine going to look really hard again at that group as well.
Yes, and we're going to look at everything that we do, Dave, but we're not just going to look at scheme. We're going to look at personnel and go through an evaluation. Sometimes it's very difficult when you're in that cycle of you've got to get the film graded and move on. You don't get an opportunity to look at it as in-depth as you would like in terms of the individual. You're looking more as a unit, and we need to spend some time going through and evaluating everything that we do. And the first thing we got to do as coaching staff is we've got to get up and look at ourselves and evaluate what we've done through these first 5 games and see if we can do things better to help our football team win.
Smitty, one of the things that was interesting last night, and I guess this was done as much by where the circumstance were, a score and time left in the ball game, is the up-tempo stuff you were running last night. It was interesting to watch that part of your offensive packaging unfold. What catches your eye when you see that in review on tape and you start breaking that down? I think there was one stat last night that Matt was 14 of 14 on balls thrown between the numbers last night. I mean, do you see a different wrinkle than we see in the course of a ball game when you go back and break down up-tempo to huddle and that kind of thing offensively?
Well, I think when you go up-tempo and your no-huddle package, it really depends on what the defensive philosophy is. And sometimes it calms people down. Sometimes it keeps them in a certain personnel grouping. And
right.
I thought that we did a nice job last night in our no-huddle offense. And we kind of morphed in and out of it, which I think gives you an advantage as well, where you can call huddle and then go up and run a few plays at the line of scrimmage and really try to keep their rhythm as a defensive play caller off a little bit. And I thought the Matt did a good job, played very well. I thought he was very accurate. He made very good decisions. He got us in the right protections. And that's not an easy thing to do against the multiplicity that Rex Ryan and his staff show.
I thought also, in one of the things that kind of a wrinkle in the ball game, Arch was talking about the Drew Davis and Kevin Cones and guy like that. You were using that package, and I don't recall those guys being – vastly integrated in a game into that stuff. And there they were last night, next man up theory, your opportunity. It seemed to go, at least from our perspective, watching the ball game, seemed to go pretty well with those guys going into the ball game when you needed to run that operation.
Well, they did a nice job. I thought Drew Davis did a very good job. We had a package of plays for Drew, and he executed them extremely well. You know, Drew's a big physical guy, and there's certain things that his skill set allows him to do. And he did a very, very good job in what we asked him to do. And then Kevin had his opportunity there late in the game and had the, as we mentioned earlier, had the big yep. catch on third down.
All right.
In fact, it was Drew Davis's block that was the key block once Quiz cleared the line of scrimmage yep. on the draw play from the 20 that allowed him to get in. Kevin got the late block. So those two guys, yep. key players on that play.
Absolutely. Yes. We'll take a break with Coach. Come back. The Defend the Dome question of the week brought to you by Ford coming up as well, along with our SunTrust Bank shining play of the ball game with the Mike Smith Show from Flowery Branch continues right after this on 7-9 of the Zone.
Who will another shot? Jones is out there. There's a marker, and he caught it anyway. Antonio Cromartie. Get some of that. A one-hand grab by Julio Jones.
Yeah, and why did he have to catch it with one hand? Because Cromartie had his other hand in his pocket.
Never be without football. Get coverage of every NFL game from NFL Mobile on your smartphone. Call Star NFL to get NFL Mobile from Verizon now.
And needless to say, the Julio Jones catch, the SunTrust Bank shining play of the game, SunTrust. How can we help you shine today with Dave Archer, Wes Durham, and Falcons head coach Mike Smith with us in our first half hour. Safety William Moore will be along in a moment. Each week we have the Ford Defend the Dome question of the week. You can ask Coach Smith a question. Log on to defendthedome.com. If your question's answered during our segment each week, you'll win a $50 gift card to the NFLshop.com. Charles Moten down in LaGrange wants to know, do you decide, you know, what are the implications? Take the ball, kick the ball, defer off the coin toss at the start of every ball game. When you win the toss, obviously.
Wes, our philosophy since we've been here has been to take the ball. And we feel like you're going to get an potentially an extra possession in the first half. The only way that we would consider deferring would be if it was an outdoor game where the weather and the wind would be a factor, where we felt like we'd want to go on defense first. So across the league, it's about 50-50. 50% of the teams defer to take the ball in the second half, and the other 50% win the toss and take the ball. So our philosophy has always been, let's get the ball into our playmakers' hands, let Matt and Tony, Julio, Roddy, and Steven Jackson touch it first.
And to your point, you got the extra possession last night. It was 4-3 in the first half, and that led you, I guess, in part, the way the ball game was being played to make your decision you made late in the first half, right?
Well, yes, it did, because they had scored points on all three yep. Of their possessions in the first half, and we felt like we had the ball down there on the 1-yard line with just a few ticks on the clock, and we felt we needed to get 7 points because we had not really slowed the offense down in the first half. Unfortunately, we did not make the play there, and were stuffed short of the goal line.
Smitty, when you go to the nickel package because of injury, and you've been very good and very adamant about the fact, don't make any excuses for injuries. Most coaches are that way, but there is the realistic situation where you've got two rookie free agent linebackers that are in the game for you in a nickel situation, calling the plays. One of them is calling the plays for you, and I know I'm not asking you to call out a player here, but that's got to be difficult when you've got a guy like Marnie Mordingwig on the other sideline. It's a pretty accomplished offensive coordinator that knows that as well and could do some things that maybe have been unscouted.
Yeah, there were a number of unscouted looks. We saw the Wildcat offense a lot more than we anticipated, more than they'd shown of any of their games prior to this. And I think philosophically they were going to try to play some slow ball and keep our offense off the field. I thought we did a nice job against some of their unscouted looks, some of their personnel groupings where they had 31, where we call it 31 personnel, where they got the backs in the back, no tight ends, and in the 31 personnel. So we did some things and made some adjustments. You know, the big thing for us was the third downs on defense. You know, you've got to get off the field on third down. You want to win about 66% of the third downs from the defensive point of view.
You start looking at the way this bye week sets up for you, not only from a physical standpoint as it relates to injuries, but your evaluations as well. Given kind of where this has been dealt in the first five ball games, how crucial is this section? And I know the next game is always the biggest game. But when you look at the way the things have gone mentally, physically, it's as much mental as I've got to believe what you're doing strategically, right?
Well, there's a lot of factors to why we haven't had the success. And the mindset that we have to take right now is that we've got to get better today. Mm. And we can't worry about what's going to happen two or three. We can't put a two-game winning streak or a three-game winning streak together until we go out and get the first one. And we've got to do that. We're going to spend these next few days on ourselves, and then we'll come back, get an extra day's practice next week, working Falcons on Falcons, and then we'll get into our Tampa Bay game planning.
Being simplistic and going game to game served you well going forward in this process, and I think it would serve you well here, don't you think?
Oh, no doubt. This is the next game is the most important game, and for us right now, that's how we've got to look at it. We can't look at what do we have to do to get to this number. What do we have to do to get to this number? Can you catch the team that's leading you in your division? You can't worry about that. The only thing we can worry about is getting better today. And doing that every day, and then going out and making plays and coaching better than we've done it through these first five ball games.
Smitty talked a little bit about this before you came on, in the fact that this week, bye week, and I think you flush 1-4 out of your mind as you've talked about, let's get ready for how good we can be this week and then Tampa the following week. But key practices for Drew Davis, who's taken a lot of snaps, with Kevin Cohn now potentially going to get a lot more snaps. Don't know what Julio's situation is, but factoring in the fact that maybe one of those guys off practice squad has got to come up and elevate and help you in that point. And their familiarization with Matt Ryan, and where Matt likes to throw the football, the back shoulder stuff, all that kind of stuff, has to speed up dramatically this week for you to get those guys ready to play.
Oh, it really does. And as I said, we've got some emphasis points that we had set that we were going to do during the bye week, but it's changed a little bit this morning in terms of what we need to get accomplished, both offensively, defensively, and on special teams. We've got a lot of things that we need to work on, and a lot of it is because of what transpired last night in the ballgame.
Theoretically, can playing faster help younger players, especially not on the defensive side, because defensive guys are scrambling trying to get lined up, but right. Offensively, can playing it up-tempo, but playing almost fast-paced like you did in the fourth quarter, can that help the younger players be a little bit more of a factor in games for you?
I think it can, Dave, simply because you don't have the whole playbook available to you when you're in your up-tempo. And I think it condenses what you're going to be able to do. You can't call your whole playbook from on the line. So it helps you, your guys formationally get in tune to what they need to do. So in that sense, I think it can.
It's interesting because we hear a lot about the up-tempo stuff in the college game and the frustration it creates defensively. Have you seen some of that in your studies in the offseason about teams that go up-tempo? Denver, I guess, would be the best example of a team that's an almost continual up-tempo, not no huddle. Dave was making the clarification last night. I thought that was pretty important that no huddle and up-tempo are two different things, right?
Yeah, you're changing the pace, and there's kind of the speed up-tempo, and then there's one where you're going to try to dictate based on what they're doing. But, you know, their offensive coordinator's playing for them.
Yeah. But at the same time, have you seen in the pro game where it's created the stress we hear about from college coaches about going fast?
Well, it does. I think it kind of limits can limit what you, you know, what you can do defensively, and then, again, it gives you some communication issues because you're not huddling up, and you're either communicating with the signal caller or you're going to have to use hand signals when guys are lined up on the line and in the formation. So it can create some issues, and we spend a whole lot of time in the off season and in the preseason working on that because it is a trend that goes through, you know, through the league. Most every team not only has a two-minute, you know, they all have two-minute offense, but they do have the up-tempo stuff as well.
Smitty, last thing before we let you get out of here. We know we need to get you back to work. But with this week coming up and big picture scenario, you flush the first five out of your mind, and now you concentrate on the task at hand. How important – you got a bunch of young players that are playing for you right now, and for them, it's kind of that time of the year where it starts to get built long for them. You're already essentially for them 9 games into the season. So, how do you balance that and get them redirected and saying, "Hey, you're going to have to play," and oh, by the way, you're a pro. We got another 10 games to go, or 11 games to go, 12 games.
Yes, it's important that we get our guys enough work and the work that they need, but at the same time, it's important that we work on their recovery and our athletic performance department, getting the guys the rest that they need when they're off the field. We want to make sure that they're getting enough sleep and enough rest. And those, I think, are the important things besides just the X's and O's that we're presenting to these young players.
All right, Coach, thank you as always for the time. We'll see you the Monday after the Tampa ball game.
All right, guys.
Falcons head coach Mike Smith with Dave Archer and myself. Stay tuned. William Moore joins us as the Mike Smith Show continues from Flowery Branch after this on 7-9 of the Zone.
You're there! Sacks him! O.C. Umanyora drops him. And another sack for Umanyora, his second of the night.
On that time, there was no blitz coming. That was just O.C. working one-on-one.
Verizon Edge is a program that lets you pay for a phone over 24 months rather than paying for it up front. You only need to pay the first month's installment at the time of purchase, and then you make monthly payments until your phone is fully paid off. Verizon Edge.
All right, by the way, the Umanyora sack are Ackerman Security defensive plays of the game. Protect your home and family for just $18.95 a month. Monitoring fee, no cost to switch right now at Ackerman Security. com. William Moore is scheduled to join us here in this second half hour. A story that was preliminarily reported after approval by the Georgia World Congress Association authority earlier has now been confirmed here in the last 15 minutes. The Falcons have announced that in 2014 they will play a home game in London. There'll be one of three NFL games scheduled for Wembley Stadium in the 2014 season. The Jaguars and the Raiders will be the other home teams. This will mark Atlanta's first international trip since playing the Indianapolis Colts in the American Bowl in 2005 in Japan.
I'll never forget that trip.
Neither will I. The Falcons will play in 2014 in London as one of three NFL games set for Wembley Stadium, now being officially announced by the league and Arthur Blank and the Atlanta Falcons. So on the 2014 schedule, by the way, opponent and date will be announced later in the season by the NFL as it relates to the series that was just played, what, a couple of weeks ago when the Vikings and Steelers played over
there? Last weekend.
They've got one coming later this year with Jaguars, right?
I believe they have another game. They're trying to expand it to three games, which they will in 2014. Those dates are pending. Obviously, teams are positioning and maybe trying to swing their weight a little bit to try to get certain dates. I believe the weekends they're looking at are week 4, week 8, and week 10 of the NFL season for those three games. Now, which team slots in which spot remains to be seen. I think the Falcons would prefer, and this is me talking, would prefer to have the early date, would prefer to have like what Minnesota and Pittsburgh just did last week, have the early date, get it out of the way so you're not in the middle of potentially some kind of stretch drive and have to go to London. Now, each team, they position it where each team gets a bye after the London trip.
Right.
So much like Pittsburgh and the Vikings had this week, they were off because they played in London a week before. That would be the same scenario for all three of these games moving forward.
Yep, so already at least one location has been determined on the 2014 schedule. And, of course, the rotation's available online. Anybody can see how the crossovers work so you can narrow down. I don't believe that since they've been doing this, there's ever been a division game played. So you can kind of take those out of the water.
Right.
The really high-profile.
Who do we get next year in the AFC? They like to do an AFC-NFC scenario.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what division we get next year. We had the AFC West – a year ago, we had the AFC East this year, so it
would
be the AFC North next year.
That's right. Pittsburgh, Cleveland.
So Pittsburgh
those
would
be the scheduled
home
games.
You could almost narrow it down because Pittsburgh will not go over there again next year.
So it could be Cleveland.
So Cleveland, Cincinnati, Baltimore.
There you go. Well, actually, because Cincinnati and Baltimore would be road games. Remember, those were home games a couple of years
ago.
Okay,
so you can almost narrow it down to it's Cleveland.
There
huh?
you go. So it could be Cleveland, yeah.
Yeah.
If the AFC team.
Total speculation on our part, totally false. We have no idea what
we're talking
about.
It could very well be. Yeah, I mean, it could totally be off the mark. Yeah. But if it holds true, and that's what we've seen in the past where they've had, I think the Patriots played the Buccaneers a couple of years ago, right?
Yep.
And it was Tampa's home game, and Malcolm Glazer, of course, is part of the ownership of Manchester United, and that was one of the ties there. And the Jaguars have got a long-term deal to do it, but now in 2014, Atlanta.
I think he eventually wants to be over there.
Yeah.
I think that's where – what's his name, Shad Khan?
Shad Khan's the owner of the Jags.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the Jags, yeah.
So. And they have a long-term deal to play games as part of that as well. And so, anyway, we'll keep an eye on that. But that is of note as it's announced today officially by the Falcons. It had been reported earlier in the AJC after approval by the Georgia World Congress Center Authority that the Falcons had
And obviously your season tickets should reflect that. Now you're going to lose a home game here in Atlanta, so remains to be seen how that enters in. I would imagine there'll be some packages that the club will put together for people to potentially fly over, spend some time in London and go to the game, whatever that package includes, don't know, and that'll come out of Jim Smith's office probably at some point down the road from the Atlanta Falcons, but it will reflect that you're only going to have 7 home games in the Georgia Dome, and I would assume that your season ticket would reflect that.
Davis, I also understand it, and I think we're right on this. The tickets over there have gone. The ones that are available for public sale in the UK have been gobbled up quickly in recent, including this last ball game with the Vikings and Steelers. These tickets are hot commodities over there as it relates to the fan base in Europe, which I think is just tremendous.
Well, and there is another part of this deal. If you're a Falcons season ticket holder, do you have the first right of refusal on that ticket? Now, obviously, not everybody's going to be able to fly over there. Not everybody's going to be given the opportunity within the Falcon package to fly over. They're not going to put, 2747s together to carry everybody over there. So it's probably going to be a package or two. Does a Falcon fan, as a seeking ticket holder, have the opportunity to potentially to sell that ticket over there? I don't know how that secondary ticket market works. These are all questions that need to be answered so the Falcon fan can maybe get as much as they can out of their tickets.
So that's great news for the organization. I know the folks will be excited about the Falcons playing on that stage in 2014. Appreciate Coach Smith here as always. The interesting note that came out of that is, and I think you mentioned in his media comments, this is a time where they're going to not just hit the reset button. They're looking to – kind of reanalyze where they are with this
team.
Well,
they have to, don't they?
Yeah.
I mean, at 1-4, I think you have to. I think that some of the I don't want to call them experiments, but for some of the gambles that has been taken to this point with some of the interior guys, I mean, the offensive line, young yeah. offensive line, hasn't come together as quickly as they had hoped. I think that the preseason was supposed to mold that a little bit, maybe a few growing pains early in the year. But then at some point, here you are in game five, you would like to feel like you're in a pretty good rhythm. But because of the Baker injury, maybe the poor play early of Lamar Holmes, and now Garrett Reynolds struggling a little bit, now you've got some things you have to reevaluate.
And Coach Smith said it, injuries cannot be an excuse. It's something that happens with certain teams at least once a year. Some team is affected by injuries. You made a great analogy about the Packers a couple of years ago. Was it 19 guys? Is that right?
Yeah, I believe it was 19 guys.
On the IR, and then they got hot and late, got into the wild card scenario, and then ultimately got to the Super Bowl. It's happened a couple of different places. They can either sidetrack your season or give you a chance to rebuild for a season. I remember that particular year, it was the running back position in Green Bay that had been devastated by injury.
Yeah, and the secondary as well.
Yeah.
Morgan Burnett was part of that team that went down with injury. I think Charlie Peppera
That's
was
right.
the starting safety for that Super Bowl champion.
Yeah. So it's going to happen, and it's happened here in Atlanta. If, in fact, Julio Jones is lost for the long term, he would become, I think off the top here, the sixth different starter to miss three or more games. At least through the course of this early season. And, of course, Sean Weatherspoon's been designated for return in Week 11. Croy Bierman, Brady Ewing lost in the first week. Technically, Mike Johnson lost in preseason. So this has certainly been an integral part of where this season has been dictated so far.
The Falcons scored a touchdown in the fourth quarter yesterday, which means you can save $150 instantly on four tires and an alignment. Got to get into a Kauffman Tire location today. Today only, save $150 instantly, four tires and an alignment. Kauffman Tire.
Well, the Falcons will have an off day on this weekend and then come back to take on Tampa. The Bucs are winless through four ball games, and they'll be coming off a bye hosting the Eagles, who will be playing, it appears, without Michael Vick at quarterback. So that'll mean that Nick Foles will
yep.
take over.
And actually came
in
through two touchdowns in their game and their win over the Giants. Another team that I think if you asked people at the beginning of the year or right now, what are the biggest surprises? Obviously, Kansas City Chiefs being 5-0, but the Falcons being 1-4 and the Giants being 0-5 would probably be as big a surprise as Kansas City being 5-0.
Yep, and so Nick Foles will be the starter in Tampa this weekend. It'll be interesting to see how that goes for the Bucs, who get Mike Glennon's second career start. Josh Freeman, I think, has signed the deal in Minnesota. And
yeah,
so, you know,
heard a little bit about that. I know Rick Spielman, who's the GM up there, was asked some questions about why Josh Freeman. Does this mean you've just pretty much said that Ponder's not your
right.
guy? Because we're talking about Josh Freeman. When you look at Josh Freeman, remember he came in the draft early as a junior out of K-State, was a number one pick, had a great year his second year.
Mm-hmm.
He's only 25 or 26 years old, so you're talking about a young player now.
Yep.
They really like some of the conversations Bill Musgrave had with him on the phone about their offense. I would not be surprised to see at some point for Minnesota, if they continue to kind of struggle, Castle being that stopgap guy, not the starter, that Josh Freeman doesn't potentially become the starter in Minnesota by the team at the time the end of the season comes along.
All right, more to come from Flowery Branch. The Mike Smith Show continues following this break on Sports Radio 790 The Zone.